Welcome to Training for Manhood, an ongoing exploration and adventure intended to be fast, fun, and formative for guys who desire to be the best men they can. Young or old, there are always areas for improvement, growth, and maturity. We hope you'll pay attention and put into practice the useful advice you hear on this podcast. But remember, the goal isn't just to listen, but to do what you learn. Welcome to Training for Manhood.
Hey guys, welcome back to Training for Manhood. This is Dan Panetti. I've got Parker with me, Parker Panetti. Parker, welcome.
What's up? Glad to be here.
Yes, thank you. Hey, this is kind of, when I put the title on there, Parker looked at it and he's like, hey, we're back to that Genesis verse. So I've been focusing on this, right? Genesis 26:25, this is kind of like the third episode podcast in a row that I've really kind of dug down on this particular verse, right? To go back to it, it says he built an altar there. This is talking about Isaac. He built an altar, and there he called upon the name of the Lord. He pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. And so I've been focusing on this whole building altars, pitching tents, and digging wells. And as I was kind of thinking about it this particular week, I was thinking about the importance of relationships, because we don't do this alone. We don't live in isolation. We're not out there, you know, building altars, pitching tents, digging wells by ourselves. We're doing it in community. And so I just want to talk about that in terms of how to develop meaningful relationships. How do you build a community of men and women around you that enhance your life, that make things better? And so, this week was kind of an interesting week for our particular family. We were out car shopping, and I know a lot of people, you know, either dread or love car shopping, because sometimes, you know, buying cars can be, it can seem like you're being taken advantage of. And there's, I think, a lot of people, like, you know, we were used car shopping, so a lot of used car guys, salesmen, are not necessarily the people that most people place at the top of their list of people that they would trust, right? I think it's, you know, politicians, used car salesmen, people at the bottom of the list. And we ran into a couple of those, right? Ran into a couple of those people that you're like, oh, these aren't necessarily great people. I don't necessarily trust them. But we ran into some great people in the process as well. And I just thought about how important it is to have people that you trust, people that are around you, that you can go to, because you can't know everything. So you've got to be able to have some people around you that you trust, that you ask questions of, that you can bounce things off of. And I, you know, as I was talking to Parker, I said, you know, it's not just what you know, it's who you know that's important in life, right? Developing those key, intricate relationships with meaningful people that really help you advance life. And so there's a couple of things that I just want to talk to, as especially for young men, as you're growing and you're developing, how do you begin to do that? And I think the reason that I really want to talk about this is a lot of what you're going to get in, you know, your studies, you know, school, college, all the different things, is you're going to be kind of going through an information, you know, dump. It's usually about what you know that seems to set you apart. And especially in today's kind of, you know, information age, you can really buy into that, right? Is I need to know a lot about things as opposed to building really good relationships. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive, but I do think that your priorities in those really have to be established in saying, well, which one's more important, what you know or who you know, right? Are you going to spend more time, energy, and effort on developing information and getting access to information? Or are you saying, hey, relationships are important and I really need to build relationships and put some energy and time into that? So Parker, you're a business guy, right? You've got a business degree. You're out in the business world. You would think that, right, from your perspective, you might fall into that category of information's the most important thing. It's what you know as opposed to who you know. So what, just as I'm talking about this, as you kind of looked at my notes and you know, what are you thinking in terms of this particular conversation for some young guys?
So the first thing I'm thinking, first as a listener, as this part three, is the third week that we have utilized going to buy a car as a part of weekend.
Yeah.
We're done.
We're done.
Well, at least for now.
Well, we're done for a while.
for a while, Lord willing. So you don't have to worry about, like, this has not been shot all in one day.
Yeah.
Like, these podcasts have been 3 weekends in a row.
Yes.
So we have gone to dealerships 3 weekends in a row, but I think we're done. But in a
it has been a family journey.
Because we're not building tents.
No.
So that's why it's taken us a while.
But yes.
Because we're taking our time. But in terms
go back to that. We're pitching tents. And I said this in the last one. It's not that the tents are not important. It's not that pitching tents are not important. It's that, right, the building altars is more important. So if you need a car, you need to go buy a car.
Right.
But that can't be the idol of your life. That can't be the symbol. That can't be something that's so important that it, you know, that pales in comparison to other things that really are important. And so, you know, we've gotten two cars in the last 2 weeks or last week and a half, basically. But, you know, the reality is like, yeah, we're out there shopping for good deals. We're not, you know, buying the most expensive things. We are remembering in a sense that we're pitching tents, but we do want cars that drive and get us from point A to point B.
But the highlight of the weekend, though, was not that we bought a car, but just we had a fun time doing it.
We had a fun time.
So the relational aspect was, so we're tying it into relationships and building like community with people and doing life well.
Yeah.
Like first thing right off the bat that I think of, like one, yes, business person minded, my degree and everything, and it wasn't what I knew that got my job or has advanced me. It's who I know. But because the thing is, that's interesting, the way I think about it is that like God is inherently relational.
Yes.
Or we see that in scripture right off the bat, Genesis 1, that it was made, that we were made in the image of God, God being the Trinity, God being, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit.
Yep.
And so if God, who is all knowing, because we were talking about this earlier, it's not just what you know. So he already has the what you know checked off the box.
Yep.
But he decided to add relationship as being an equal aspect of his being.
Yep.
So knowledge was important, but he added relationship. So it's like he didn't need anyone else. And this is, I guess, trippy in terms of how the Trinity works, but he still is a relational being. And so then, therefore, since we're made in the image of God, we're inherently relational, but we don't know anything like in terms of like the comparison to God. And so we need relationships, right, to help offset us. And it's like picturing this weekend, like car shopping, is we had four different people who had four different opinions mm-hmm. and four different perspectives mm-hmm. and four different like pieces of advice and wisdom to bring to the table that was beneficial, that if like just Preston was out there by himself, right, he could have come back with a totally different decision that was made.
Right.
But the value that comes with four different, you know, ideas and information and encouragement and like all those different things that we can talk more about with what relationships bring, it actually brings knowledge with it. Right. Right. So if you're lacking knowledge, but you bring community and relation to the table, right, that actually brings knowledge at the same time. So what you know, I do think, pales in comparison to who you know.
But who you know can help you with what you know.
Right.
Because if you know some of the right people, they can add pieces into your life of things that you don't know as well. I think that's one of the things that we watched in this particular weekend. One of the value adds that you have is that, finances are an important aspect to you, planning, preparing. And so, you put a budget together. You said, hey, these are the kind of cars that we're going to look at in terms of, the price range and things like that. And then Preston went out and did a ton of research looking for vehicles that fit into that budget and came up with some great cars. And so we looked at them, we drove them. I thought the funny thing was, though, in the midst of all that is as we were trying to, stay within that budget and looking for vehicles, we kind of watched the dynamic of our family because Preston kind of gets, set in his ways. I mean, he really liked one particular car and, you love looking at, other things. So it's like, let's see what else is out there, and usually, mom is the one who likes the best deal. So she's willing to go to the ends of the earth, to save, a dollar or two. And so, it's kind of like that balance, right? I mean, Preston wants to get it. You want to stay within budget, right? Mom wants to get the best deal. And so we're all out there, having a great time on
and
this.
Dad just wants to be done.
Want to be done. Yeah, let's get something. But it was funny because in the midst of that, it was an interesting process. Not to take you through the whole thing, but in the midst of that, God, I think, the cool thing, right? God orchestrated some things that were pretty cool to watch him. That as Preston really utilized the relationships of the family around him, and as he allowed himself to be stretched and to grow, and as you used your particular strengths, and you know, we were there kind of as a support. It was interesting because God dropped a car kind of in our path that really wasn't kind of on the radar,
right?
And it was it was kind of like, hey, you know, they just brought it in today. It's brand new. Just got here. We haven't even taken it through this stuff. And that's the car we ended up buying. And so it was, you know, that process of just going through, it wasn't just about the information. It was really about the quality of relationships and the people that we wanted to work with and the relationships really amongst our family, of using the strengths that each of us bring to that, and allowing each of us to encourage one another. And I think that was kind of the fun thing that we've watched over the last couple of weeks, is just doing life together as a family, and the fun that we've had and the experience that has happened. And that's where, you know, I kind of go back to, that's what you want, right? You want to build relationships with people so that you get a better life, right? Lifestyle, living, it's more enjoyable. And I think from what I've seen recently, right, the different studies that have come out, I mean, I think I've mentioned to you the Harvard study, which is the longest study dealing with human happiness. It's done up in Boston. But, you know, they go back and they've done this study for like 75 years, and they said the number one key to happiness is the quality of relationships that you build over time. So it's not the amount of money. It's not the stuff that you have. It's the quality relationships. And then I just read something the other day. They were talking about, they did a study with girls who are communicating with their moms, and whether they text or they talk. And they said that if they text, their anxiety levels go up, and their like cortisol goes up, and their oxytocin goes down, right? So all the things that you want, right? You want your oxytocin to go up, you want your cortisol to go down, right? It's just the opposite. But when they called their mom and they talked to their mom and they heard her voice, right, their happiness went up, their oxytocin went up, and their cortisol went down. And so it's just kind of an interesting thing. It's just how those relationships are developed, and the quality of the relationships and how you maintain those relationships, I think is really an important aspect that we don't pay as much attention to when we get into this information age and all the technology that we have. I think we're becoming numb to the real quality of life, and the real quality of life is spending time with good people and doing life with them. It's not just information, and it's not just getting information from people to better our lives. It's really doing life together. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. Are you buying that?
Yeah, I think so. Breaking down the relationship, I think there's two ways to go about it, and I guess a right or wrong way. And like, part one is the humility aspect of saying you need community,
right?
You need relationships. And then part two, I would say, is identifying the quality of those people. So, because having people is not a check, right? It's who the people are. And so I think first to focus on part one is saying, hey, I need people, right? I think I love going back to what Genesis said. Anything that Genesis says before the fall, like, because I think the Old Testament get tricky for people, but anything before sin is like, take that home.
Yeah.
Take it to the bank.
What's the way it was designed?
Yeah.
Right? Because when you know the design and you know the designer, and you said at the beginning, God is relational.
Right.
Right. And if we're created in the image of God, then we therefore are relational beings as well. And God desired to have a relationship with us, right? And he created us in a way to be able to have that relationship. So I think you go back to that and you say, hey, relationships are important.
Well, because it's difficult in Genesis 1. You're like, I don't know about the Trinity. I don't know if that's relational. Genesis 2, he makes it pretty obvious when it says it's not good for man to be alone.
Right.
Right. And so he actually just makes a helper for us. Right. So if we're confused about the relationship between God and man, right, as being us being an inherently relational,
then watch what he does.
Watch what he does, yep. Right, especially what he designs before sin occurs. And he says, hey, I'm going to give you a helper.
Yeah.
Right. And so when he does that, we're not talking about relationships just in a man-woman, like a marriage relationship, just in general,
right?
Right, as being beneficial. But there's the humility aspect that I think is step one that we're talking about, this part one aspect of saying, okay, so hey, I need...
Real quick on that.
So, yeah.
If you go back to the garden, notice that he gave him work to do before he gave him the relationship.
Right.
And the, you know, it's not that man doesn't have work and that work's not important. It's just when God looked and said, okay, you know, everything was good, but then, right, man was alone. He's like, that's not good.
Right.
Right. Well, man had work. So he could have left man alone to do work. Okay. But I think what we see from scripture and what we know in studies that, you know, continue to, you know, bring the validation to this, right, is that we're made for relationships. We're not made for work, right? We have work that we do, but we're made for relationships,
right?
We are relational beings. And so I think that's an important aspect. So yeah, right. The humility of being able to say, yeah, I need relationships. I need good quality relationships. I don't just need work and more work and more work. Right, I need to build relationships around me. I think you're right. Humility is a large part of that, to say that that's an important aspect, because I think a lot of people feel like they can kind of do life better on their own, and relationships are usually messy and bring complications and extra expense and extra work and all those different things. And you see a lot of people shying away from relationships. Isolation, living alone, is only growing across the world and in America. And I think that's a trend that we need to, you know, work against from a young guy's perspective, right? I would say, hey, you know, don't just isolate yourself, live alone, right? Go to work every day, you know, be on your computer all the time. Like, you know, work to build community and good, meaningful relationships in your life.
Yeah, and the way that I think about the humility aspect of relationships, like, I was someone who never really enjoyed group projects, because group projects meant that I have to be on somebody else's schedule,
right?
Work around somebody else's specific creativity, right? Maybe somebody's not,
or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof, right? Or, you know, someone's not going to do their work, yeah, or all those different things. And I'm at the, you know, time and schedule and the mind of somebody else, or a couple other people.
Yep.
And I think that mindset for us in life is a very arrogant mindset, because it's only my best case scenario compared to maybe their worst case scenario.
Yeah.
Group projects are phenomenal if you're super busy and can't do the work and somebody else will do it for you.
Right.
And I think we forget about that, because group projects are horrible if you're on top of things and everything's perfectly planned for you. Right? But if you drop the ball somehow and somehow you mess up, group projects are great because you allow other people to pick up slack where you failed.
Mm.
And so in relationships are a burden to somebody who is so confident in themselves that they forget that they have a possibility to fail.
Yeah.
Right? So Ecclesiastes says that two are better than one.
Yep.
Okay? Like, it's very clear. And it says here, it's in chapter 4, that if they were to fall, one will lift up his fellow.
Yep.
So if relationships, or if being by yourself in isolation is a easy thing for you, which I think it is for a lot of us in certain areas of our life, if we're like really good at something,
yep,
I can do that by myself. I don't really need somebody else. But when you add somebody else to it, that is you being humble enough to say, hey, there's going to be times where I mess up.
Yeah.
Because isolation is really, really good when you don't mess up, because you can kind of just run at your own pace.
Sure.
But when you have somebody with you, it's saying, hey, that means that I might or I will have a negative falling, so that even if they slow me down, right, on the flip side, they're also going to speed me up when I slow them down. And so it's a,
yeah,
it's a,
I think, give and people, take. I think people see relationships and they're talking about, you know, I'm the one who's always bringing something to the relationship, and so somebody's going to slow me down. That's not life, right? That, you know, there's going to be days.
It could be if you're on the wrong side. That's when we get to the quality of the relationships.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. If you have people around you who are always taking.
Right.
Now, you can have times where that happens, right? If you've got friends who need you, and you're a person who, you know, sees the value in building those relationships and those friendships, you can go through seasons where you're constantly the one giving. But I think you're right, is if you look at the quality of your relationships and they're, you know, other people are not bringing things to the table, right, you need to reevaluate those relationships. So that's a good word, right, is look at the quality of your relationships and the people around you, and make sure that you've got people that when you're down, are they going to be the people that you're going to call? Right, when you're hurting, have you developed a network of people, right, who are going to supply, right, whatever it is that you're lacking when that particular thing happens? Because I think from a biblical standpoint, that's what you're talking about, right? When there's two of you and one falls, the other's there to help, right? So do you have a network of people? Do you have a good relationship that when you're the one who's down, who are the people who are picking you up?
And like the way that I see it, like at basketball, when I play basketball, like after we're done, there's like a couple people left that will play one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And that's their favorite part. And the only the people who like one-on-one are the best players.
Yeah.
Because their game gets worse or is not as fun when they have other people who are not as good as them.
Yeah.
And so I love 5-on-5 because that means that I have other people on my team.
You get to hide your weaknesses.
Right, who are better than I am and can help create a more fluid game. And I actually play better when I'm with other good people. And so that's the quality of relationships. And I think earlier you and I were talking this week when I heard that sermon about taking courage, that term take courage.
Yep.
And that idea of when Scripture says it, like Paul says it, I mean, Christ says it, and there's a lot of different areas, but Paul says it, I think it was in Philippians, I forgot where it was, but he says to take courage. And it doesn't mean that you are mustering up courage on your own,
right?
But you're actually, in a sense, borrowing courage from somebody in your life or from Christ. Like, eventually it's from Christ, but that it has courage and can give you courage.
Right.
So that take verb is an action verb of, hey, like, take this from me. Like, I have it. And in relationships, you can borrow courage.
Yep.
You can borrow confidence. You can borrow joy. You can borrow comfort from people who, if you're in a tough spot and they're not, right, they're able to give that to you in a season.
Yeah.
And if they're in closer proximity to Christ in a certain time and period and place, right, and you're not, they can be able to be there for you. And so I think this part one of relationships that's really hard for us is analyzing, I have a tendency to sin even though I'm a believer. I have a tendency to have weaknesses even though I'm good in certain areas. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I do need community.
Right.
And so if you're a I hate group projects person, right, don't be a I hate group projects person in life. Because there are areas where you're going to be really good at writing that paper by yourself and creating that project by yourself. But there are other areas where you need other people. I remember I was in like some, it was like FPS or whatever. Mm-hmm. Right?
I remember Future and Problem Solvers, right?
My group of four, I had three other guys, were geniuses.
Yep.
And they probably hated me in the group. And I did, I one time got Kleenexes for a guy.
Yeah.
Because he was doing the entire competition.
He's killing it. And you're like, what can I do to help?
What can I do to help?
Go get me coffee. All right.
And I was probably dead weight.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, I love this group because I surrounded myself, or I guess the teacher did, but put me in a group with brilliant people to where we actually did really, really well. And I got to be a part of that victory. Or the same thing with victory with Christ, right? We still get victory even though Christ did the work. You know, people on LeBron's team still have an NBA ring, even though LeBron did the work. And, you know, like there's this point too of if you are can humble yourself to be within community to know that you need help, right? There you can tap into the victory and the success of other people as well.
Yeah. I think, you know, so the first part is the humility to realize that you need to build community.
Right.
The second part you said was, how do you develop it? How do you find good people to surround yourself with and do life with? And I think for me, the first step on that is being that person.
Yeah.
Right? So being the person, the best person that you can be, the best friend that you can be, the kind of person that you want to have around you, to try to be that yourself. Right. So in a sense, before you spend time looking for the quality people to surround yourself with, asking yourself that question of, are you the kind of person that a quality person would want to surround themselves with? Right.
Yeah.
Are you the kind of person who's, so egotistical and self-centered that other people who want to do life well don't want you because you end up, right, taking away from everybody? Or are you the kind of person who says, group project, right? I mean, you know, do you have to have your name at the front on everything? Do you have to, you know, make sure that all the attention is given to you? Or are you a person who's saying, yeah, I'm willing to, you know, share the victory with other people. I'm willing to do my part. I'm willing to go get the Kleenexes, you know, on this particular, because the next project we work on might be the time when it's like, oh, I know that. And I'm the one doing all the work and you're the one going to get the Kleenexes. Does it make sense?
Right.
Right. Are you that kind of person? And I think that's a great, you know, gut check for us as men, because our culture tells us in a sense, right, we're supposed to be the ones who do all the work and carry the load. And it's a weakness to demonstrate, right, that you have a need for help from other people. And I think that's not true, right? I don't think it's a weakness. I think it's a reality. I think it's just a reality that, you know, LeBron James, right, in a game of basketball, right, even though, I mean, we were just watching this thing in his 21st year in the NBA, he's still killing it, right? But here's the deal. He's got pieces around him, right, so that when you double LeBron, right, he's passing it off to, you know, Austin Reeves, who's knocking down a three. Well, guess what? If you're not knocking down a three, he's not passing you the ball. Yeah. Right. So you've got to do what you do well, but you've got to surround yourself with pieces of people who do other things well as well, so that you can do things in life the best way possible. But then again, it comes down to, are you working on your game? Are you working on the pieces that you bring to the table? And do you have the humility to allow other people to bring what they have to the table as well?
Yeah. So going on, starting with that idea of, are you that friend that you're looking for?
Right.
There's the great, you know, dating quote, or be the person who you're looking for is looking for, right? Which, when you say it over and over again, I think you get more confused by that comment.
Wait, what?
It's a good idea, right? Yep. I do like the idea. But I remember this hit me in college, like my sophomore year, and I got to like drop this wisdom on Sophie that I forgot who told me about it, but it was so encouraging to me and helped me so much. And we've talked about this a lot, is you can't be frustrated or complain about somebody not reaching out to you to hang out, to talk, if you don't reach out to them.
Right.
Like, I had to get to this point where I was like, I can't be bothered that so-and-so hasn't reached out or doesn't want to get lunch or doesn't want to hang out if I haven't reached out to them. Yep. I think we sit in this game of like, whereas both sides, right? People are people, right? Humans are the same throughout the board, right? People want to be reached out to. And so why would I not be the initiator of things?
Sure.
You know, of like, why can't I be that person? So, because if I sit and wish that someone did something and that person does the same thing, we're both going to be wishers.
Yep.
And nothing's going to occur.
And the relationship's not going to be built right. And you're just going to go on, right? Complaining about the fact that you don't have good relationships around you. Well, it's like, be the initiator,
right?
Be the starter. Be the one who says, I want to, right, cultivate good relationships. Right. So that means, right, if you're going to cultivate something, if you want something to grow, right, you got to go out and get the, you know, seed, you got to do the work to plant it, right? And then you got to water it and you got to let it grow. I mean, so yes, if you want good people around you, right, don't wait for people to call you up who are good people and say, hey, Parker, what are you doing? Right. Like, hey, that's, you know, let's grab lunch.
And the way to be that too, and we've talked about this, about just finding community, is step one to finding good community is being good community.
Yeah.
Right. Like, oh, I can't find godly guys. Well, first be a godly guy.
Yeah.
Like, because godly guys do not want to hang out with a person who's not a godly guy. Right. Right? Like, there's the same reason you wouldn't want to, you know, and like, if you want to be around people who are fit, right, and like work out a bunch, you've got to first start working out.
Yep.
I think that's the idea of community, is like, you know, it's this weird twofold thing where you need community to better yourself, but also to attract the community that you want, you have to start working on yourself at the get-go, right? Which means, going back to humility, you have to identify you need help,
yep.
Right? And if you need help, you got to start working until God provides people along the way, but you have to be godly community. So if you want people to encourage you in God's word, be in God's word first. And so there's a balance of, what are you doing in isolation that's preparing you to be successful in community?
Right.
Because you have to be, out of the four of you guys, if there's four of you, right, how much of that fourth are you, like, what value are you bringing to that group, to where they're like, hey, I want to keep this guy around because he's pushing me. And then if you're pushing that guy, he's going to desire to push you.
Yep. So my second thing was, right, is you start with yourself. The second thing is, I think from my perspective, is being gracious and forgiving, right? Because relationships take time and they take work, and they're not perfect. So you're not perfect. The person that you are, you know, in a relationship with, in terms of, you know, whether we were talking about dating before, but, you know, just a group of guys even, there's going to be times that people are going to, you know, say something hurtful or do something mean or drop the ball, right? I mean, one of my pet peeves is when people say, I just went and helped somebody move, right? And it's kind of the, oh, yeah, you know, Saturday at 8 o'clock, we'll be there, you know? And then you show up Saturday at 8 o'clock and there's, you know, four people there and 12 people said that they were going to be there.
Yeah.
Right? I hate that, okay? But I think the concept is like, don't just discount people. Work on relationships, right? Have the tough conversations with people, right? Hey, you know, Jimmy, you said you're going to be there Saturday. You didn't show up. Hey, when you're going to be? I mean, you know, work on developing people. Don't dismiss them. I think that's an important part, is if you're going to have good relationships, meaningful relationships, it's going to take time and it's going to take effort. It's not just going to happen overnight where, you know, five guys are going to show up at your house. You're going to have lifelong relationships. They're going to be, you know, pouring into you. You're going to be pouring into them, right? You're going to do life together. It's like, no, like it's going to take time to build relationships and friendships. And they're going to go through seasons of, you know, difficulties and trials and tribulations. And I think not to be a dismissive person, right? And I think that's my natural inclination, is I'm a dismisser, right? So when you disappoint me, I dismiss you. Right, as opposed to working through the relationship and saying, okay, so I got disappointed by somebody. You know, what do people do when I disappoint them? I like when people forgive me, right? I like when people give me a second chance. And so work on doing that, right, with other people as well. And yeah. So I think that's an important aspect.
I try to give people, and I think I've really worked on this, of giving people a really good hypothetical excuse. So I say that somebody drops the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, you know what? They are probably going through something. You know, like what's their reason that would make sense to me? Because they're like, if they were to give a list of 10 excuses, five of them, maybe you're like, man, that's not a good excuse.
Right.
And then five of them like, oh, that is a good excuse.
Yeah.
And why can't I give somebody the benefit of the doubt? Because I would hope if I had an excuse, right? It's going back to that humility thing, is there has been a time where we've dropped the ball,
yep.
You know,
yep.
Like I've dropped the ball before. Did people take my excuse and be like, that's not good enough for me?
Yeah.
You know? And I think, you know, life happens, and if life happens to them and life happens to me, I need to be someone who I'm like, you know what? Like, that's probably pretty legit for them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to give grace to them because, man, if I don't give grace to them and then I drop the ball, I can't show up to that 8 o'clock thing, or I can't be that person, man, I really hope that they're gracious to me.
Yeah.
And so, and they will have, they're more likely to be gracious and forgiving to you, back to point one, if you're gracious and forgiving to them.
Yeah. But part of that then is speaking truth, so that when somebody gives you one of those five excuses that are lame, right, you tell them,
yeah,
hey, listen, here's the deal. I don't need lame excuses, right? I don't need you to tell me, you know, that, oh, you know, my dog got sick, right? Don't lie, right? Tell me that you overslept. I would rather have honesty so that you can build on that, because dishonesty is not something that's going to build a relationship.
Right.
And so I think that's an important thing. We're watching. I mean, lying is so easy, right, to do to other people to try to save face. But in reality, it breaks down the relationship as you go. And so that's an important aspect, right, is, you know, be gracious and be forgiving, but also, right, be honest up front and be willing to work on, right, what's best for the relationship, right, is being truthful and honest with the other person.
Because if you let things slide, you're more likely to let the next one.
Yeah.
Because then if you let five things slide,
yep,
you're like, hey, why didn't you call me out here? So, yeah, and then I guess going on to the third point of things you can do to build meaningful relationships, of the desire and work for the best for others around you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where, you know, I go back to my definition of friendship. Right. It's the, you know, George Washington quote where he says, friendship is a plant of slow growth that must withstand the shocks of adversity before it's given the name. And I think that's an important aspect, right, is the shocks of adversity is speaking truth to people and desiring the best for somebody, even though it costs you something. That's what good friends are. Right. And over time, as you grow and you develop that, you realize that this person has my best interest at heart. They're willing to do what's necessary to help me be the best version of myself possible. And these are the kind of people that you want to keep around. So I think as you grow and as you develop and as, you know, we were talking about, right, you know, be an initiator, be the kind of friend that, you know, other people want to have, that you want to have, you know, be gracious and forgiving as other people are going through and that relationship is building. But here's the reality. At the end of the day, there's only going to be a few people that actually stick with you and stay with you and demonstrate that your relationship and your friendship is really valuable, and those are going to be your true friends at the end.
And they take time.
And they take time.
The one thing that I learned when going through like community formation at my church was picture these people as family first, then friends.
Ah,
because
that's good.
Like, think about it, just like with our family. Like, I would say that we're friends now.
Yeah,
but it wasn't at first.
No, your family. You're stuck with them, right?
But I was able to say tough things.
Yeah.
And with friends, I wasn't,
yeah,
like growing up. It's like, oh, you kind of just like let things go.
Yeah.
And if you look back, it's like, who am I actually friends with now?
Yeah.
Right, family.
Yeah.
And
well, say and hear tough things.
Right.
Yeah. I think both of them, right? You know, like, yeah, hey, I'm willing to say tough things. But yeah, but you got to be willing to hear tough things as well, because I want people around me who make me better. I don't want to just be around people that I make them better. Right. And so you got to be willing to hear and say tough things. And that's what family does really well. So you're right. If you look at people as family,
which they are spiritually.
Right. And then they grow into the friend. Right. That's kind of a unique, you know, perspective. I think it's kind of what, you know, Jesus offers us. Right. He adopts us into his family. And then, you know, the friendship with Jesus ends up growing over time because he's willing to say tough things to us. Right. And we've got to be willing to accept that and learn and listen. Right. Yeah. But we're part of the family. Right. He loves us either way.
And so. I'm like most of my friends from college, like if we were not following Christ just based on our personality interest, we've like talked like, would we be friends? Probably not.
Probably not. Yeah.
You know, like there is so few that I have that I guess from the get-go had in common with those guys.
Yeah.
But because we started at a home base, mm-hmm. like a lot of us being in the same fraternity and we are the only believers, we're like, okay, we've got one thing that matters in common.
Yep.
And then we slowly started to say, oh, right. Like, hey, this person has value that they're giving to me and I'm able to give value to that person. And I need this person right now because they're family. Right. Like there's like, that's why people get homesick, right? They need family. As a believer, if you're not around believers, you learn to get homesick from not having believers.
Yep.
And so you start to need that community. And so that humility of saying, hey, I need this. And then part two of finding those quality guys by first being that quality guy and then being able to speak truth. And that's how you develop friendships, how you develop community. And it's not supposed to be easy, right? There are seasons where God has withheld that from me for times, right? Or made it a little bit different. Or like I moved back home, like to Dallas from Arkansas, mm-hmm. and like most of my community is still there.
Yep.
Right. And so it's like, okay, how do I not restart because I still have it, but like develop in a new way, right? And it's like there's a slow process to doing things all over again. Yep. But I'm not going to jump into a different process when it's quick and easy, when it takes time.
And that's why we went back to the original verse in Genesis 26, right? Building altars takes time, takes effort, right? It's costly, right? Building relationships that matter, that are meaningful. That's the important part, right? Pitching tents. You can find people that, you know, hey, I got tickets to the game. You want to go? Sure. I got, you know, you can find people to pitch tents with that's easy, that's simple, that's shallow. But if you want to build altars with people in community, if you really want to have significance and meaning, that's going to take time and it's going to take effort and it's going to be costly. Right? And I think that's what this verse, I'm just digging on this verse again, right? Building altars, pitching tents, digging wells, such an important aspect to kind of frame your life around. And I think it's important to remember that you're not doing it alone. You need to do it in community. So find other people and develop those relationships of people who are doing this as well, and do life together with them. And I think that's going to bring the greatest amount of joy, happiness, meaning, significance, and purpose in your life.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Love it. Thank you, Parker.
Thank you for listening to Training for Manhood. If you found the conversation to be valuable, make sure to rate us where you listen to podcasts. Also, check out additional content on our website, trainingformanhood.com. That's training4manhood.com. Until next time, in the words of King David, be strong and show yourself a man.